and welcome to the Mom Beta podcast. This is episode number 60. This is the place where we talk about things that are going on mommybeta.com and also things that are just kind of going on in the general blogosphere. And our show today is brought to you by Drobo and Gazelle.com. We'll tell you about them later in the show. But first, we want to talk about having pets in the house, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, coping with hitting, and also how moms can sometimes take parenting too seriously and the kind of effects that that can have. So let's jump right in. So ladies, I saw this on the news the other night and we passed it around amongst ourselves. There's a recent study that came out that said that babies in pet-owning families may be healthier than babies who live without pets. And this is especially true with people who have dogs that go in and out of the house because they think that maybe the dogs are bringing in germs and bacteria and pollen and all that sort of thing that helps build up baby's immunity. And I was wondering, so I know you guys don't have pets. Is that, you know, is it because you're worried about germs?
I'm too lazy.
Sorry, Alex, I just jumped in.
I'm terrified of having a toddler or even when I was, you know, planning to have the baby and have a dog. And I'm not a morning person. I do not, you know, my toddler sort of is my alarm clock. And I would hate to have to, like, worry about waking up to walk the dog and then but I guess we could get a doggy door. I don't know how all the training works because it's been so long since I've had a dog on whether you can just train them to run out the doggy door in the backyard. And I mean, of course, I probably should take them for walks. Anyways, long train of thought from, you know, Randomville. But it does make me consider getting a pet and thinking it's better, more okay.
I'm with you, Jennifer. I'm lazy. Before we had Reese, my husband wanted to get a dog, and I said, you know what? It's a dog or a kid. Which one do you want to do?
You choose.
So we chose a kid, of course, and it's worked out lovely. And I think if, you know, we live in a condo, we live in a city place, and we don't have a lot of space. So perhaps, you know, when we move and get a home with a backyard, I would consider. But I do completely agree. I see where the study is coming from, and it does make sense. Which is why I think all of our kids are pretty socialized and out at the parks and putting things in their mouth. And I would say for the most part, we have healthy kids. Although I will say when I go to the Academy of Sciences or any place where there's a really high influx of children running around and putting things in their mouth, I always wipe Reese's hands when we leave.
You know, and I thought it was interesting when the survey they did of the kids, you know, who had pets and determining what illnesses they had in the first year, they surveyed, I think, close to 400. And of those, 285 had at least one fever by their first birthday. And to me, that's amazing. I think Elle had about at least three or four fevers. Or I don't know if
they're
considering
that. Yeah, but it does seem low, right?
Yes, yes. I don't know if they're counting, you know, I mean, I would say consecutive days, you know, when the baby will have fever.
Right.
Or if they're saying like bouts of, you know, okay, it was a couple days here, a couple days there. But it does seem pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's almost half of the kids that didn't, or, you know, a quarter of the kids that didn't have a fever at all. Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
I know.
let's hope for that for baby number two.
And something even better is they said 157 had an ear infection. So that's 150 kids out of 400, you know, that had an ear infection.
Knock on wood, we've never had an ear infection.
Either way. Really? Oh my goodness. I thought everyone.
I think it kind of tends to be hereditary. I don't know if you had them a lot when you were a kid, but I know my sister had a ton when she was little. She might have even had tubes, and my niece gets them all the time. But I never really had them when I was a kid, so.
I actually did have them when I was a kid, but thankfully.
There goes my theory.
No, but I don't know, you know, how bad they were. I don't think they were really bad. But Josh never did, so, you know, maybe she's got Josh's genes.
Yeah, so we have a cat in the house, and I have never really worried about him from a germ perspective too much because he doesn't go outside. But I have thought about making our house kind of a shoe-free house because of the, you know, tracking in pesticides and this and that. But my husband's never been very fond of the idea because he thinks it's a pain to tell people to take off their shoes. And I agree. But this kind of makes me, you know, okay with the decision to let people wear shoes in the house because, you know, I'm building up baby's immunity.
Do you think that's the same? Or that's the same germs they're talking about?
Well, I mean, it's got to be some of the same stuff, right? I mean, if it's on a dog's paws, it's going to be on a person's feet.
Yeah, maybe not in an airport. Yuck. Yeah. I struggle with getting people to take their shoes off when they come over. I always forget, and I'm like, I keep planning to buy a sign to put in the front of my house. Take off your shoes.
Well, but it's harder now that you don't have carpet, so you can't.
People were worse when I had carpet.
Really?
Yes. Which disgusted me, but you know, my family that I grew up with, you know, we never took our shoes off. No, they still don't. But I don't know. I just decided that that's what I wanted to do. So I'm getting a sign for the front of my house.
Get a sign and get a little basket of slippers so people can have an option to, so they don't have to be barefoot.
That's a good idea.
I'm going to go broke.
Go to the dollar store. I'm sure they have slippers. So we want to take just a minute to thank our newest sponsor, and they're Drobo. And basically, this is a way for you to back up everything on your computer without it being a hassle. I know everybody's had that moment where their computer crashes and you go, oh my God, like, did I just lose that document that I was working on? What about all my pictures? What's going on? So I think in this day and age, there's no option. You have to back up your computer. And this is a really easy way to do it. It's a neat looking little box, and it's the storage capacity is totally expandable. It's very easy to set up. And it's just one of those no-brainers. You have to back up your data. This is an easy way to do it. So I want everybody to go over and check out drobo.com and order one of these little boxes, sync it up to your computer, which is super easy to do. And then you can have the peace of mind that your photos aren't going to be gone next time your computer crashes. So everybody check them out. And I want to extend our thanks to Drobo for joining us on our sponsorship. So kind of changing gears a little bit. Alex and I, me more so, have been dealing with hitting our toddlers hitting, not us hitting our toddlers. And I wrote a post about it this week, and it's a long one, and I won't get into all the details, but it's frustrating. We've been dealing with it since the fall, so it's been like 10 months, and I just feel like if this is a phase, I'm ready for it to be over. And Alex, I think you said that it's been getting a little bit better for Reese, right?
It's been getting better. There were a couple months, and I think I posted on our Mommy Beta Facebook page because I was just, it's heartbreaking and it's so frustrating because she's just the sweetest little girl. It's just around certain kids, and I don't know if it's when people are in her space, in her home, as she does it more, but it breaks my heart. Because I don't want, you wrote about it. You said you don't want people not to want to play with him.
Right. You know, I don't want him to be an outcast. I don't want to be a mommy outcast. And I also don't want to be, this kind of goes into a topic we're going to talk about next, but I don't want to be the helicopter parent. I don't want to be the person who's like standing right next to him in the sandbox. But I kind of I'm starting to be able to back off a little bit, but I kind of have to be within, you know, a couple strides, because if he starts smacking some kid, I want to be able to step in and protect the kid and discipline Dominic. So I haven't been able to kind of give him the free rein that I really, really want to give him. When we've had a couple of older kids over, I've been able to be a little bit more hands-off because he tends to be better with older kids. Mm-hmm. And I really like that, to be able to just like let him run around the backyard with his little buddies and let them do the things that they want to do. And, you know, me be able to have an actual conversation with their mom is really nice. So we've had a couple of good days. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that things, you know, don't escalate from here, and then maybe they start getting better. But Jennifer, I know that, you know, Elle's been on the receiving end sometimes, and that's hard too. What does that feel like?
It's hard. It's hard because, I mean, I want to give them their space too, but I do feel like I have to keep a closer watch. And it's happened with a lot of kids with her. I think she's just a target. And I don't know if she's getting to an age where she's remembering or realizing, but just this past week, it's something different for us, but she started not wanting to share. Oh. And, you know, really getting upset about it and crying. Or if other kids are coming in her space, mm-hmm. like laying on the floor and crying, like, why are you over here? I'm playing on this. It's mine. saying me a lot more. And I'm hoping it's a very short phase. So I think we all go through our own little phases of whatever, but it's hard being on the receiving end. It's hard. It's not hard to feel empathy for you and Alex, but it is hard too, because sometimes it feels like the, you know, like, so Elle is the victim, but she's not the victim. It's more so the kids who are hitting are the victim because, you know, you guys are having to deal with it.
And mommies are the victims.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so you don't want to appear like you're upset or anything like that. But if your child is truly hurt, you know, I do expect to see another mom discipline their child if they do something like that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that goes back to me kind of hovering at the playground, because it's partly because I want to protect the kid and partly because I want to discipline Dominic, but also because I want to show the other moms that I'm on top of it.
Yeah, that you're taking it seriously.
Right.
I'm the same way. I've given her chances. Like, Reese, if you do that one more time, we're going to leave the park. And we live so close. We live right across the street from the park. It's not a big inconvenience for me, but it's a huge threat to her. You know, I just pick her up, put her over my shoulder, and we walk home, and she's so upset. And by the time we get home, she's calmed down and she wants to go back. And I say, no, we can have another chance tomorrow, but we don't hit.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a really good way of dealing with it. We've had to do that a few times. And I think that the most important thing with that is that if you set the limit, if you say, if you do this, then we'll do this, that you have to follow through.
Following through is huge with anything. That, I mean, it could be something really simple. You know, the other day she was holding her sunscreen and she was squeezing it out. And I said, Reese, please don't do that. Mommy's going to take it away. And she was having so much fun with it. And I closed the top. So at that point, it wasn't that big of a deal anymore. But because I had said, if you do this again, I'm going to take it away. So then I had to take it away after she did it again. And I felt awful. But it's one of those don't make empty threats. And so I've learned not to just say it if I'm not going to do it, because I have to do it.
Yeah, I notice every once in a while, Sean, my husband, will make some sort of like really weird threat. Sean,
threat?
I wish I was trying to think of something. I can't think of it right now. But just something that's like not something we'd really want to follow through on. Like, we're really not going to leave in the middle of lunch, or, you know, if we're out in the restaurant. You know, just things like, okay, you got to think about it a little bit more before you say it. It has to be something that not only we can do, but that we're willing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to, you know, not sacrifice our entire lives for him either. So,
you know, and I still don't know if Elle gets the threats. You know, like, I can make the threats and so we'll leave or whatever, or she'll go into timeout. But I don't know when I'm saying it, or maybe she's just not to that point yet. I mean, I'm going to continue doing it and continue following through. But I was wondering, you know, do you guys think that, you know, Dominic really understands, like, we're going to leave the park? Does he, like, stop?
He definitely gets it.
Reese totally gets it.
I don't know at what point he started getting it. It's totally possible that she's, like, on the cusp of that, you know, that she's not quite old enough yet for that. But he definitely gets it now. And he's also starting to get, which I'm kind of on the, I can't decide if I like this or not. Like, you know, he's obsessed with milk. So I try to get him to eat real food before I give him milk. So, you know, we'll say something like, you know, if you finish your meatballs, I'll give you your milk, and he'll do it. But I, you know, hate kind of doing that bargaining thing with him at mealtime. So
we've been doing that with Reese a lot, but not with meals, but with anything. Just, like, Reese, you have an option. Like, if she wants to be held, she rarely wants to be held by me, but if she does, and let's say I'm holding grocery bags and Daddy's with us, it's like, no, you can walk or Daddy can hold you. And so she's not getting her way, but she's like, all right, I'll settle. And then she'll go to Daddy.
It's like, poor Daddy.
I know. That's only when she's crying for me, but not all the time. But it's one of those things that she totally gets it. Like, no, you can do this or this. You choose. And I've walked out of the room like, Reese, when you're ready to do this, come find me. And within 30 seconds, she comes and finds me and takes me to what she wants. So no, she's way smarter than, I think kids are just smart and they get it.
Yeah. So keep doing it, J-Lo. And at some point it'll click.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I know she gets some things, but I think sometimes when she's in the middle of a tantrum, she's only thinking about what she wants.
Oh yeah. Tantrums are hard.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, have you gotten any reactions from, like, strong reactions from kids, like, that has kind of shocked Dominic or Reese? And, you know,
I don't think most of the time when he does something, he really hurts them.
Uh-huh.
So most of the time they're kind of unfazed. But there is one girl at daycare who will tell me every time, you know, when I went and picked him up today. And he was really good, except for this one time when he kicked her, or he had, he'd thrown some tan bark at her, like right as I was sitting there. And she's a little older, and she, you know, always will come right up to me and give me the report on how Dominic did that day, you know, whether he was nice or, you know, whether he hit her or, you know, so that sort of thing. So that has been a little hard for me because I don't know how to respond to her because I want her to express to her that I'm sorry that he did that, but also, you know, I want his daycare provider to be the disciplinarian and the one who comes in and tells me these things, not this little girl.
Right. So
it's a little bit of a struggle there. But I don't think I've had any kids like really freak out, which is good.
Yeah, one of the podcasts a long time ago, since we're on 60 now, we were talking about how other countries in their child's development focus a lot on emotions, mm-hmm. you know, and looking at reactions from people and faces rather than, I guess, was it actions or things like that? Or just, you know, like the purple
car. I think they're
expressions. Like that. Yeah. And so, like, you know, if I'm sure that you do that whenever, like, Dominic hits someone and maybe they don't, like, come out bawling or anything, but they're affected a little bit. And you're like, see how, you know, that hurt so-and-so.
Right.
Or, yeah.
I think the strongest reactions he's probably gotten are from me when he hurts me. Cry a few times. I mean, he's – most of the time when he's made me cry, they haven't been things that he really means to do. Like, he'll throw his head back and, you know, I'll bite my tongue or something like that. But he definitely has a few times, you know, made me cry, and that really does affect him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like you're trying lots of different things. So
We're working on it. So we want to take another quick little break to thank our other sponsor, Gazelle.com. Gazelle is the place on the internet where you can go and sell your used consumer electronics for cold, hard cash. Who doesn't need some cash, right? So your upcoming holiday vacation, maybe you need a new camera to get those good shots of that. So you can go to Gazelle.com, type in your make a model of your current camera. You can find out how much they'll give you for it, and then you ship it off and they send you a gift card and you can buy a new one on Amazon. So definitely go to gazelle.com, check them out. You can sell your Apple products, your camera, all kinds of different consumer electronics, free shipping. And it's a great way to get a little extra money and recycle your goods responsibly. So make sure to check out gazelle.com and tell them that Mommy Beta sent you. We have one final topic that we want to cover today, and it kind of touches on what we've been talking about. There's a new study that came out that said that mothers who take parenting too seriously have it can negatively affect your mental health. And then there's also a story that came out about learning how to be a hands-off parent. So what do you guys think? Do you err more on the side of the serious parent or the hands-off parent?
Ooh, that's a toughie. like you said, Natalie, I try to be hands-off when I can, but because, you know, I don't know when Reese is going to push or poke somebody, I am a little more hands-on. But I wrote a post a while back about, you know, letting her just do things on her own because she is capable and I just need to trust that she's capable and can do these things. I'm trying to be a little more hands-off. And regarding taking parenting too seriously, I've been known to take it too seriously, but now it's just kind of, I just kind of have to laugh at it because it's all kind of, it's kind of funny when you think about it. Yeah, I used to take nap times really seriously, and I do to a point. And I always tell people, like my family, they're like, well, why does she need a nap? If she doesn't take a nap, no one's going to be happy. Because when she's, right. you know, rubbing her eyes and crying because she's tired, then I just feel awful. Like, I don't want to be kept up. But for the most part, you know, we just try to laugh about it, even though sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, and for that, I mean, I can definitely say that being a mom has affected my health in some way or another or caused more stress than I had when I wasn't, you know, a mom. And I think most of that comes from not the little things, but the big things that I feel like, you know, that nag in me, that just won't let go of, like, oh, why did I let that happen kind of thing, you know, things that could affect their health in the long run and things like that, that just, like, will eat at me. And I have to, take a deep breath and just sit back and say, you know what? I was being the best parent that I could at that moment. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do. And just keep telling myself that because, you know, nothing's going to change it now.
That's a really good perspective. That's a great perspective.
I try, but, you know, but I do see that I do see how, you know, some stay-at-home moms or full-time moms could, you know, really get upset, you know, because this is their job, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, maybe they're taking it seriously, but this is a person. This isn't a company. This right. isn't someone you're working for that, you know, you're not having an effect on their life. And so I can see how that comes into play.
Well, and from, you know, our perspective, we were all, you know, full-time working girls, not working girls in that sense, but PR girls, I guess. And, you know, we took our job seriously. And to switch into motherhood, you know, we're still going to take our job seriously. I just think that, you know, you have to put the emphasis in the right places. And some of the things in this article that were, you know, the mothers had to agree with these certain sentiments in order to be considered these moms that take things very takes themselves too seriously. And one is that parents should always provide kids with stimulating activities that aid in development. And that's, I mean, that's a hard one because you do always want to do that. But sometimes you need to turn on the TV so you can wash the dishes or you can have, you know, 5 minutes to yourself, which conflicts with one of the other things that's on this list, which is a parent should always sacrifice the needs of their kid, their needs for their needs of their child. Which is something that I can say wholeheartedly that I don't agree with. I think sometimes mommy's needs need to be more important than
right. Well, if a mommy's or daddy's not, needs. Yeah, if a mommy and daddy aren't happy with themselves, how are they going to be, you know, the best parents that they can be?
Right.
Yeah. And the whole stimulating activities for kids things drive me crazy because you know what? We didn't have all these things years ago. And years ago, people used to send their kids out to play in a backyard with a tree, and that was it, and get over it. And they weren't told they were bad parents because of that. Yeah. They weren't told they need to buy them these little puzzles and things and take them to, you know, museums all the time just to keep them right. happy.
Well, I think that's part of the problem is that we don't necessarily have the ability to send our kids out into the backyard or out to play in the neighborhood. So we feel more compelled to have to provide them with these activities where they used to provide them on their own.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know what, you know, with toddlers and babies and stuff, but I feel like parenting, maybe it's just because I'm a parent now, but there's a lot more emphasis on the things you need to do to be a good parent now. Maybe
not. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a complicated world out there. I know. I looked at my calendar, and we have 3 days of like extracurricular activities in a row. We're going to 3 different museums over the next couple of days, and I'm like, oh man,
that's kind of intense. What was that I is thinking? Intense.
Well, sometimes it's pleasure for mommies too. Like I will admit, like the outings give me sanity too. You know, you're about out in the real world. You're seeing other people. You have distractions, so it's not, you know, mommy, mommy, mommy.
Right. And I already told him that we're going to the Academy of Sciences tomorrow and he can't like contain himself. So
that's
I can't go
so back. Exciting.
That's hilarious.
He calls it the Acata consensus.
Does he still call alligator Elaniner?
No, he says alligator now.
Oh, I thought that was so cute.
Almost everything is like the real world word. It was funny yesterday. Actually, I'll take this as my little victory because this is cute. Yesterday, he has all these little plastic animals and he had them all lined up and he said, "Mommy, they're getting ready to go to the Acetica census."
Aw, that's super cute.
So yeah, he loves getting out of the house. So
I think they all do. As much as he can.
Well, thank you very much, ladies, for joining me today. I hope we didn't go too long and that we got to talk about all the things we wanted to. So everybody who's listening, make sure to go to mommybeta.com or our Facebook or Twitter pages and let us know what you think. Are you a hover parent or are you one of the more laid-back types? And also, I could really use your input on the hitting thing. So if you want to visit our blog, visit that blog post and kind of give me your 2 cents on what hopefully worked for you. I would really appreciate it. So thank you for joining us today, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Thanks. Thank Bye. You.